Eating more animal protein means less cancer? Well, so tweets Mark Hyman. You may have heard of him. He's a low-carb enthusiast, a MAHA supporter, a supplement salesman, and now a nutrition revisionist. He wants you to believe that more animal protein lowers cancer risk, pointing to an outlier study that boils decades of flaw survey data into one thin gruel of a conclusion. This isn't science. It's the conjuring trick of a salesman. We would probably call it the arrogance of certainty without the burden of proof. Hyman waves away mountains of evidence from serious researchers, cancer epidemiologists on five continents, because it doesn't suit his narrative or his business model. And so, we're left with a choice. Do we follow the global consensus of scientists, or do we buy into the gospel according to a man whose medical insights can be measured in the half-life of a supplement fad? I'm your chief medical explanationist, Dr. Terry Simpson, and this is Fork U, Fork University, where we make sense of the madness, bust a few myths, and teach you a little bit about food and medicine. Mark Hyman didn't start out as the guru you see today. He was once a family doctor, then a spa doctor. Then he discovered something far more profitable than medicine: selling supplements and pseudoscience. Out of that came functional medicine. What is functional medicine? Well, if you're a nurse, a dentist, or even a chiropractor, you can take a 6-month Zoom course and suddenly call yourself a functional medicine doctor. You've probably seen the ads for the 300-plus tests they'll run on you for a few $100 each. So why don't real physicians order 300 tests at once? Because modern medicine is based on history and a physical exam. If you shotgun 300 to 400 lab tests, you will always find some abnormalities, statistically guaranteed. And once you've scared a patient with those numbers, you just happen to have the solution. A few $100 worth of supplements every month. Maybe supplement really does stand for supplemental income. For a while, Hyman even carried the banner of the prestigious Cleveland Clinic. Why they eventually parted ways, no one knows. But what we do know is this. Hyman is camera ready, he has just enough jargon to impress the non-doctor, and his platitudes are exceeded only by his inability, or unwillingness, to read scientific research correctly. Which brings us to his latest misfire. On September 19th, Mark Hyman tweeted that researchers analyzed the NHANES 3 data from 15,937 U.S. adults followed for 20 to 30 years. According to Hyman, they found no link between animal protein and mortality, and even a modest reduction in cancer deaths with higher animal protein intake. Sounds like good news, right? Steak every night, but not so fast. NHANES is actually a valuable data set. It's helped us learn a lot about diet and health in America. It covers a large, diverse population and tracks outcomes over decades. That's the good news. The bad news? The NHANES relies on a single 24-hour dietary recall. Asking someone once what they ate yesterday and then projecting that forward over decades? Worse, it lumps salmon, bacon, chicken, yogurt, and steak into one bucket called animal protein. That kind of broad brush smooths over critical differences. Fish is not bacon. Chicken is not salami. And milk is not steak. We have learned things from the NHANES study, yes, but anyone who reads these studies for a living will tell you, the skill is knowing how to separate good data from junk analysis, and Hyman's is unfortunately junk analysis. So let's go to the evidence. When you turn to systematic reviews and large cohort studies, the picture becomes clear and far more precise than the NHANES snapshot. Let's look at red and processed meats. Multiple independent studies across different populations consistently show the same thing. Higher intake means higher cancer risks. Add 50 to 70 grams a day of red or unprocessed meat, and colorectal cancer risk rises 15 to 32%. Processed meats carry an even greater risk. Let's go to fish. Several carefully separated analyses show that 50 grams a day lowers colorectal cancer risk by 4%. Pescatarians, those who eat fish predominantly as their meat source, have roughly a 9% lower overall cancer risk than regular meat eaters. Poultry? Well, independent studies show that it's neutral to maybe even slightly protective. Unlike red meat, poultry hasn't been linked to higher colorectal cancer risk when carefully analyzed. What about dairy? You know, Greek yogurt. Large cohorts demonstrate that milk and calcium lower the colorectal cancer risk, but at very high intakes, dairy, especially milk, has been linked to increased risk of prostate and endometrial cancer. Now let's just contrast this with plant protein. And the data here is so remarkably consistent. Higher plant protein is associated with a lower risk of overall cancer incidence and cancer mortality, particularly when plant protein replaces animal protein, especially red and processed meats. Multiple prospective cohorts, meaning we take a group of people and we follow them over time, and meta-analysis, meaning we've taken a lot of these studies together, show that plant protein is inversely associated with all-cause cardiovascular mortality, meaning it's heart healthy. And when we substitute animal protein with plant protein, it reduces the overall risk of total and site-specific cancers, especially colorectal. Now here's the key. Every major cancer body, whether it's the American Cancer Society, the World Cancer Research Fund, the European Union, or cancer research institutes in Canada, Australia, and beyond, document these same trends. The problem isn't with protein itself. It's with lumping it all together as NHANES does. That fuzzes the picture. But when you separate the sources, as these independent, carefully done studies have, the information becomes crystal clear. Red and processed meat increases cancer risk, fish tends to protect, poultry is neutral, dairy is mixed, and plant protein is protective, especially when it replaces red and processed meats. Now, Hyman writes, quote, "I recommend aiming for 4 to 6 ounces of high-quality animal protein per meal twice a day." Now, that might sound like sensible advice, but this isn't what cancer prevention is made up for. This is bodybuilding math dressed up as medicine. Follow that prescription literally, and you're eating steak at lunch, steak at dinner, with eggs, poultry, and dairy filling in the gaps. That's not building resilience. That's building cancer risks. Multiple cohort studies show that diets highest in red and processed meats, the very food his prescription promotes, carry the highest rates of colorectal, breast, and endometrial cancer. Substitution studies are clear. Replace red meat with plant protein or fish, and the risk goes down. Follow his advice, and it goes up. And here's the kicker. There is no cancer society, no cardiology body, no public health organization on earth that recommends 1 gram of protein per pound of body weight. Every major health body recommends the opposite. Cut red and processed meats and replace them with other healthier sources. Now contrast that with the Mediterranean diet, the most studied diet for longevity. It allows up to 4 ounces of red meat in a day or less. And people who follow it don't just live longer, they live healthier, with lower cancer and heart disease rates. So when Hyman prescribes his 4 to 6 ounces twice daily, the question is he reading the data or is he just selling to the low-carb crowd? Because it isn't medicine, it's marketing. Next on his thread, Hyman advises, and I quote, "Choose grass-fed, pasture-raised meat, organic poultry and eggs, wild-caught fish. They're higher in omega-3s, B12, zinc, and lower in hormones, antibiotics, and inflammatory fats," unquote. Now that sounds great, but here's the truth. The difference between grass-fed and corn-fed beef is minimal when it comes to cancer risk. Grass-fed beef may have a touch more omega-3s, but it's still red meat. It is still produced in the same DNA-damaging compounds when grilled or smoked. And the biggest difference? Taste. Grass-fed beef often tastes grassy or gamey. Corn-fed beef is richer, marbled, and frankly, I'll admit, I prefer the taste of corn-fed beef. But preference doesn't change cancer data. If you want real nutritional benefit, you'd be far better off eating farmed fish other than any kinds of beef. Fish has more omega-3s, fewer carcinogens, and protective effect against colorectal cancer. Choosing grass-fed over corn-fed steak isn't a health choice, it's a palate choice. So when Hyman pitches quality meat, as though a marketing label erases decades of cancer research, he isn't giving medical advice. He's selling a lifestyle brand. Hyman also wrote, quote, "For decades, scientists have thought high protein raised cancer risk by raising IGF-1, but this study showed there was no link between IGF-1 and mortality," unquote. This is a classic sleight of hand. IGF-1, which is a pathway, it's not the whole story, but cancer begins with DNA damage. When red meat is processed, it forms nitrates and nitrites that become carcinogens. When red meat is grilled or charred, it produces heterocyclic amines and polycyclic aromatic hydrocarbons. These chemicals damage DNA directly, and if your repair systems fail, mutations build, and cancer can begin. So to say no IGF, link means no risk, is like pointing at the matchbook and ignoring the bonfire. The risk isn't theory. It's chemistry. Hyman closes with this, quote, moderate intake of animal protein does not raise risk. Prioritize nutrient-dense sources, balance with colorful plants and lifestyle factors like smoking and inactivity matter more than protein intake, unquote. Sure, plants help. Fruits, vegetables, and whole grains do mitigate some of the cancer risk of unprocessed red meat. That's good news. But plants don't cancel out bacon. A salad with your hot dog doesn't erase the hot dog, and I love a Chicago-style hot dog that has lots of vegetables on it and relish. It's delicious. But smoking and inactivity are stronger risk factors than diet, but that doesn't mean diet doesn't matter. Smoking is worse than asbestos too, but that doesn't make asbestos safe. Cancer risk is cumulative. Every preventable risk counts. So when Hyman wraps himself up in a platitude about colorful plants, he's not doing science. He's doing spin. So here's the bottom line. Don't be fooled by viral nutrition tweets. The overwhelming evidence shows that red and processed meat raise cancer risk. Fish helps, poultry is neutral, dairy is mixed, and plant protein is protective, especially when it replaces red and processed meats. And as much as I would love to sit down and have a big steak every night, I don't, because I believe the data. And the data says less red and processed meat, more fish, more plants, and better health. For references and the full breakdown, check the blog post at yourdoctorsorders.com and 4q.com. Please subscribe to this podcast, share it with friends, and help spread the evidence, not the hype. This podcast was distributed by our friends at Simpler Media and my good friend, the COD Pod God, Mr. Evo Terra. And remember, while I am a board-certified physician, I am not your physician. Please talk with your board-certified doctor, not a chiropractor, certainly not a functional medicine doctor, and a registered dietitian before making any big changes to your diet. Yes, I still eat red meat. I sometimes have tofu. I probably should have it more often. And you should too. Oh, and here's a culinary tip. When you like your steak, marinate it in some rosemary. That actually cuts down on some of the heterocyclic amines and produces less carcinogenic compounds when it's grilled. Culinary tip for the day from the doctor. All right, everybody, have a good week. All right, Evo, after all this protein talk, fish tacos or bacon cheeseburger? Which one's going on your plate? Me? I kind of like the fish tacos. Around here, they're frigging delicious.
Oh yeah, fish tacos have been my go-to for quite a while now. They're amazing. Speaking of which, I didn't edit out when you mistakenly called me the Cod Podfather. You know, because I like cod.